Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I'm so glad you could join us today. We are so thankful that you are a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community, and we feel so blessed to be able to deliver this information to you. So make sure you give us that follow, subscribe, give us a like. Anyway, today we have a very special guest back. We've had him on a few times on the show, and I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to impart some wisdom on us today. It is Pastor Phil again. We love Phil. Hey, he comes on. Every time he comes on, there is not only a great discussion, but you guys get to just really get a feel of what the Word is supposed to do inside you when it's imparted on you. So we're going to sit back, relax, listen to Pastor Phil, and let him guide us in that wisdom. So Pastor Phil, yes, welcome back to the show.
Man, what a privilege. Every time we have this conversation, I'm excited to have it. So thanks for having me.
You bet. Amen. Amen. And it is the new year. It is 2026. And you and I were talking about something right before we got on this broadcast. So Pastor Phil, I'm going to let you just take it away from there, because I thought that was a great way to maybe introduce kind of what we're all about too. And as much as you're all about at your church, just kind of impart that wisdom on our crowd and let our audience understand what maybe you're thinking of 2026 to be.
Yeah, we went into 2026 as a church, casting a pretty broad vision. You know, mission is who we are. It's what God created us to do. That is unchanging for us. But the vision is where we feel like God is leading us. And I have mentioned, I think on this podcast before, that I don't think we're post-Christian. I think we're pre-revival. I think that we are seeing a movement of God's Holy Spirit that is pretty incredible, particularly among younger generations. And so we started asking ourselves, what might God be leading us to? We put a numerical value on it simply because that makes it tangible for people, but it's so much not about the numerical value. So we cast a vision for our folks of seeing 5,000 people set free in Christ in 5 years. Now, we're not chasing that. That's not an attractional goal. That's not something that we're like, if we just do all the right things, build it and they will come. It's actually our theme for this year comes from 1 Peter 3:15, which is this idea of be ready to share the hope that you have. And amen. what we're realizing, what I'm feeling in my soul, what I think is broken in the church, is if we don't help people take spiritual responsibility and ownership for the spaces and the places they live, if we don't understand, as the Ephesians 4 says, that our job is to equip the saints to do the work of the church, if there's ever going to be a revival, it is not going to happen because of quality preachers and teachers. That will be a catalyst for it, but it's going to happen because every lay person takes spiritual responsibility. It's going to happen on the backs of lay people. So that's amen. Something we're really chasing in this new year.
Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, that's our calling too. That's the calling of this ministry. Obviously, we have this podcast to help promote other ministries, but we also have our God Center Concept podcast, which is just messaging for me. And then most importantly, we have our discipleship series. And that is exactly the same thing. We want to get this in the hands of people in the pews. And we need people in the pews taking the church outside the walls, because we are the church, you know. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that the great part about, you know, someone such as yourself, who's passionate about writing and creating resources, those resources are only valuable if people are willing to pick them up. So right. For local church leaders, for lay leaders in churches, I would say to you right now, if you're thinking, oh, sweet, T.S. Wright's coming out with a discipleship series, it's going to be amazing, everybody's going to grab it, and that's only going to happen if we're doing the work in the local church to create hunger in the hearts of the people and to say, to talk about why discipleship is important, to talk about why spiritual ownership is important. We're actually having a Sunday coming up here in just a week or two where we've got a map of our city and entire region on our wall, and we're going to actually challenge people to take ownership of their space and place by placing a sticker with like a radiating thing around it on their spaces and places. But we're being very specific. Hey, don't do this because you're emotional and it's fun this day. If you're not going to take spiritual ownership, don't take spiritual ownership. Like, yeah, exactly. Don't do it till you're ready. But we're really just constantly challenging our people. Nothing is going to change. I can't reach your coworkers. I can't reach your friends. I can't reach the people at your gym. You can. You're the priest in that space. You're the priest in your family. That's why you're there. And we've got to get people to take that spiritual responsibility. And if we do that, then the resource you're writing becomes a tool for so many, but people won't pick up a tool unless somebody challenges them to.
Amen. Amen. And you know, one of the lessons that we have that written in this first book, Embracing the Truth, is it talks about how what really motivates people and what both can bring us to God or separate us from God.
Right.
And the problem is that when we think about all our life's endeavors, these few concepts in this chapter, if we're built to attach to God, we are. But the problem is we get that confused and attached to other things in the world. So if we allow the things of the world to pull us away, then mm-hmm. we're not attaching to God. So we're not going to do his will. But when we attach to God, we feel that hunger to do his will. And that is so critical. It is such a critical part. So Pastor Phil, I want to ask you another question and let you just take this off. When, you know, you obviously have, you know, you guys got a church, you cast a vision and stuff. What are some of the practical, maybe a couple of the practical steps that you guys take as a church and you individually to help start implementing that type of a vision?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the first thing that I did was to try to get it into the hearts of our staff. It is dangerous to assume that because your staff works at a church that they've got this in their hearts, right?
Yep.
And so we spent a lot of time with our staff. We went through a series of teachings that I wrote for them just called Revival Starts With You. And revival start, you know, it was revival starts with you, multiplication starts with you, revival starts on our knees. And so that's a big part of what we did. We spent probably 6 months preparing the hearts of our people by in all of our messages, beginning to hint about this idea of spiritual ownership and responsibility long before we cast the vision. We implemented a Thursday morning prayer where I'm just like, hey, 7 a.m. every Thursday morning, I'm going to be there. And if you feel like you want to see revival happen, you want to see your life change happen. So we've been trying to do the things. And then we laid out our series for the year. We always lay out our series for the year, but we said, what's the journey we need to take people on? Another thing we did was we tried to make sure that everything we were doing in the church was intentional. So if we're doing an event in the community, we failed if we don't use that event in the community to invite people to church. And when something's coming up in the church, we fail if we're not encouraging our people to not only come to the next event, but to invite people with them. So we're just constantly trying to create an invite culture in our church where people are taking that spiritual ownership. So all of those things fall under what, you know, we look at the story out of 1 Kings 4, I believe it is, where Elisha comes and the widow's like, I need help. I don't have anything. My son, we don't have anything in the house. He says, well, what do you have? And she said, nothing. And then she said, well, I have a little bit of oil. And his command to her was find every jar you can. And what we've been teaching our staff and our people is the miracle ended when the jars ran out.
Amen.
And our job, we cannot control what God does, we can control whether or not we've prepared the jars. That's so true. God is not going to bring revival in churches until churches have a sense of expectation. Like, why would God bring 1,000 people to Christ in your church if you're not ready to disciple 1,000 people?
Amen.
If you're not ready to steward what he brings you, he's gracious enough to not trust you with it. That's and so right. We're trying to prepare the hearts of our people that way.
Amen. Amen. You're right. I mean, it's just, hey, what you do is you prepare the field for rain.
Yes.
You get it ready. You get the seeds planted, you get it plowed, you prepare it, and then God provides the rain, the sun, and all the nutrients that it needs to grow, and the results belong to him.
Yeah, and I think that's
have to do, but we have to do our part first.
Yes, and I think that what's so important for Christians to understand is our part and his part. So often when God's not working on our time or fast enough or whatever, we take over for the Holy Spirit. We try to do the Holy Spirit's part, which is a way of saying, I don't trust you. I don't trust your timing. Right. I don't trust. And what we forget is whether it's the story of Elisha and the widow, or whether it's the story of, you know, when Paul says, you know, I watered Apollos planted or whichever way, but it's the Spirit who brings the fruit. So when we forget our role is not the one who produces fruit, our role is the gardener. Amen. We prepare, we create conditions where growth can happen. That's our job. We create an environment and conditions. So we weed, we water, we cut back the branches that are blocking the sun. We do the things to be ready, but we don't bring the harvest. And for pastors in particular, that is really, really important to understand. You're not responsible for the fruit in your church. You're not responsible for how big it gets. You're not responsible for it. You have never saved anybody.
Nope.
You've pointed people to the one who can save them. You point people to the one who can set them free, but it's God who brings the fruit. So the good news is you're not the one who creates germination. The bad news is you are the gardener. And if you're spending all your time doing things that are unfruitful and unproductive, you're leading the wrong way, because our job is to prepare the fields.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. One of the things that I like to talk about all the time with people is say, look, here's how it really works. God is going to put something inside your heart to do, mm-hmm. but he's also going to put a prayer map in there. He'll put some kind of a prayer plan. He'll tell you what to pray for. You have to start praying for it. A lot of that is God is already ready to work, but he's having you pray for it, so it'll set it in your heart. We have to get it set in there. Prayer is a great way where that starts. Obviously, getting in the Word, mm-hmm. but prayer. And then I always tell people, have you ever meditated on the Word of God? Why don't you read some passages that have to do with sharing your faith? Things where disciples were doing that in maybe the book of Acts, get in the Gospels where Jesus is doing it, and just meditate on the things that they're saying and they're talking about and pray over it. You will be shocked what will happen. And then start asking God this question. And this is my favorite one. Lord, give me somebody to reach.
Yeah.
And watch him work, baby. He will start. And you start asking that every day. And guess what? He will start putting that in your path. He will start showing you. And your heart will get set on his will.
Yeah. Is it James who says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces Amen. Wonderful results? Well, the assumption there is that you're praying, that it's earnest, and that you're doing your best to live a righteous life. So there's still stuff for you to do. But yeah, I think it's so important. We're actually, as part of this series, we're going through a friend of mine, Dr. Jeff Clark, wrote a book called Praying on Offense.
Amen.
And the simple concept of the book is praying is as easy as 1-3-2. Who's your one person? Or excuse me, what's your one space that you're willing to say, that's the space I'm going to be the priest of that space? Who are the three people God placed on your heart in that space to pray for? And will you commit to praying two prayers? God, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? And when you begin to pray with that type of urgency, and so we're going to be challenging all our people in the next couple of weeks here, actually. Are you willing to own your one space? Can you identify your three people? And are you willing to pray those two prayers? God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Because it's the, what do you want me to do? The action piece where he's calling us to, we're not moving ahead of him. We're listening first, discerning, and then acting that we think is that earnest prayer of a righteous person.
Amen. Amen. So here's another thing. And as we're walking into 2026, and you know, January always feels like the month you're getting started, you know, with whatever it is you're doing. What are some things that you're hoping to see or praying for as you guys are casting this vision and you're starting to take these practical steps?
Miracles and stories. Okay. So one, we're trying to increase in our people the belief that God can do the miraculous, because you won't pray for the miraculous. You know, when you think of the disciples who couldn't heal that guy's son that was demon possessed, and they're like, we've healed before. Why couldn't we do this? Why didn't we have the, and Jesus said, if you had faith of a mustard seed, really, really the way that breaks down is you have misdirected faith. And what he's saying to them is you couldn't heal him because your faith was in yourself to do it, but you've never had the power to do it. If you had even a mustard seed faith in me, you could move mountains. But you've got to believe, even with a mustard seed faith. And so we actually gave our people all a mustard seed in like a little keychain. Every one of them's got it that they can carry with them. We have to have at least a mustard seed faith that God still does the miraculous. And so we're praying for miracles. We're praying about the things that we don't know how they're going to happen, that God will do the miraculous. But the other one is stories. We cast a vision of 5,000 set free in 5 years. I don't want to collect stats. I mean, stats will be part of it, but this is not about checking a stat book or making sure Ransom Church grows. What we're trying to encourage people is we're trying to provide ways to say, hey, as you are taking steps of faith, we want to hear the stories of life change. So we have this crazy idea. I don't know if we're going to do it, but we have this crazy idea over the next 5 years. What if we make it really easy for people to share the stories of, well, my neighbor, my coworker, you know, I've been working in, and they accepted Christ, and here's how it went down, and now they're, you know. And what if we begin to collect those stories? And our dream is at the end of 5 years, we actually publish all those stories in a book and give everyone in our church a copy of thousands of testimonies of life change that happened because they chose to take spiritual responsibility. So I think that could be a really cool project.
Amen. Amen. So here's here's another thing is we're, I know as we're venturing along with our ministry, the discipleship side of all of this, or growing and reaching people to make them disciples, is that we're actually starting an online training program. And that's, we're going to start doing that and eventually record those and then have those available for people, churches, any organization that wants to use our information. But that's part of our vision to carry that out, to make sure that people are getting that weekly dose of God's word in the direction of how to make disciples. So we think that's a very important aspect as well. And like you, we just want to see lives changed. And I think that should always be the goal of all of this. It's lives changed. So let me ask you a question. Is there any compelling stories maybe in the last year that you guys have had that, you know, that you can share? Obviously you don't share names, but just a, you know, a story of somebody's testimony in your church that really stood out to you that has shown real fruit.
Oh man, there are just so many of them. I mean, what we're seeing so much of, I'll tell you a story from last week. When you pray for the miraculous, when you value stories, when you tell people it's their spiritual responsibility, what ends up happening is miracles happen and stories are, you know, you collect stories. So last week we had a guy walk in off the street, and I didn't meet with him. One of our residents met with him. He's 21 years old, something like that. Just learning about ministry and figuring out what he wants to do in ministry. A huge call on his life, but had never really, you know, like learning to step out in faith. This guy walks in off the street and he said, you know, God, I've been lost for a long, long time. And God, literally, I was walking by and God compelled me. You're home. Welcome home. And he said, I walked in the doors. I've never, he came in on a Thursday afternoon. And he just began to confess to this 20-year-old, 21-year-old kid, confess his sin, repent, put his faith in Jesus that day. And so that kid was able to say, to text me and say, I want to tell you the story of Ron, and listed kind of the, just a story. We're seeing that more and more and more. We're seeing, in my own personal life, I used to go to the, a different gym, and, I was a guy who like put my headphones in, and I was, you know, I'm checked out and leave me alone. I want to bench press. And one of my staff started coming in, and gosh darn if he didn't lead everybody to Christ. You know, I mean, he's like, I'm working out and he's making, meeting people, making relationships. And actually he led a guy to Christ that became what became his future son-in-law, met his daughter, and amen, you know, so super cool story. So when I switched gyms, I felt really convicted. This has got to be my space. And right. Now I've been there 2 years, and started with 1, 2, 3. I got about half a dozen people now, from the gym that are going to church. I got a friend there who's a dear, dear friend, who's an atheist, who he's not there yet. And, but he's come to church, and we've got a relationship where he can go, well, you know, I don't believe that. And I said, well, I know, and we're friends, and you know, I do. So I'm going to, you know, try to lead you to Jesus pretty much every day of my life. But we, you know, it's those stories. I've got those stories myself. I went years as a pastor preaching the gospel week after week after week and not having those stories. And that's on me, right? Because I had made, I had made reaching the lost my vocation. And I had forgot that all of us as Christians are called to take spiritual responsibility for the people that God put in our lives. Sharing the faith was not a pastoral thing. It was a Christian thing. And so as we teach our people to do that, we're seeing stories like that left and right.
Amen. Yeah. I want to just say this. Everybody is called to ministry.
Yes.
Okay. It's not just people being called into the vocation of being a pastor.
Right.
Okay. Everybody thinks, oh, and what we do is we call that ministry, and then, okay, yeah, well, we get to go be entertained by all that.
Yes.
And get our little God space going in church, and then we can get to go home and just live our lives. Guys, everybody's called to do this.
Yes.
It is not a request. It is a command. The Great Commission is a command. Matthew 28. And baptizing and discipling, guess what? That can go on in your backyard. It does not need to go in faraway lands.
No.
It can go right down the street. As Pastor Phil just said, the spaces in which you operate. The spaces in which you operate. So Pastor Phil, we're running out of time here, but I would like to, I was going to ask you a quick question. Just share, you know, I know you have a book, church, all this kind of stuff. How can somebody get in touch with you or get a hold of your material?
Yeah. If you want to, grab, my book or whatever, and it did just come out, recently on Audible. So if you like to read with your ears, you can check it out. I did the narration and it came out on Audible just recently, but, just go to philtag.com. The name of the book is Jesus Be the Centerfold, Choosing Covenant Faith Over Airbrush Christianity. Philtag.com will lead you to that book. It'll lead you to the Audible. It'll lead you to, there's a free study guide if you want to go through it with other people. Ransom.church is the church that I am a pastor of. And that's where you can find, if you just need like sermons, resources, someone to connect with, we'd love to have a conversation with you.
That sounds great. And guys, go check it out. Hey, when you're done, if you're driving, wait till you're pulled over. All right. But if you're not driving, you're sitting there, just, hey, go check ransom.church. All right. Go check out his stuff. We'll have this stuff in the show notes. Make sure you take a look.
Yeah. And if you want to pull over to the side of the road and download the Audible, then you can keep driving and listen to the book at the same time.
Amen. Amen. That's how I'll listen to it, because that's how I do books, is through Audible. Yeah. So that's what I have time for. I'm in the car a lot, so I love to listen to stuff. So that is definitely what I'll be doing. All right. Well, hey, thank you guys for being here today. Thank you for being part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. We so appreciate everything that you guys do and bring to the program. And we love being able to deliver this great information to you guys, as we thank you so much for being prayer partners with us. And ask at any point, go check out our website at godcenteredconcept.com and become a financial partner with us as well to help us in the ministry. Because when we're growing people, when we're leading people to Christ, and you're partnering with us in those ways, guess what? That imparts those heavenly rewards to you as well. Always remember that. So thank you so much for everything. Pastor Phil, thank you for being on the show. It has been great to have you here. And you obviously will be inviting you back as well for some more wisdom as we get further into the year of 2026. On behalf of myself and Pastor Phil, you know how I always finish. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.